Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and talk with Jeff Madrick, who along with Nobel economist Joe Stiglitz, was asked to address the demonstrators of the Occupy Wall Street movement in New York's Zuccotti Park. We will learn what the demonstrators wanted to know and what Joe Stiglitz and Jeff Madrick learned from them. Then we will discuss the national scandal and international disgrace that 5 million Americans are deliberately being denied the vote in 2012 due to a concerted effort by Republican state legislatures and governors who have changed the rules to suppress and deny 5 million of their fellow citizens the right to vote next year. Wendy Weiser, the director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law, who co-authored a new study just out, Voting Law Changes in 2012, joins us. She will explain how our democracy, that is so often celebrated, is being so brazenly and shamefully manipulated. Then finally, we'll speak with historical geographer Dr. Gray Breschen, who is a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley and is trying to save America's post offices from a manufactured crisis ginned up by free market ideologues in Congress who want to close 2,500 post offices immediately and plan to close 16,000 post offices by 2020 in a deliberate effort to destroy the Postal Service and sell off its valuable real estate in a fire sale. And joining us now is Jeff Madrick, author of the new book, Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the Present. Jeff Madrick is a journalist, economic policy consultant, and analyst. He currently edits Challenge magazine and contributes regularly to the New York Review of Books and the New York Times. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Madrick.
It's nice to speak to you again, Ian.
And Nobel Prize-winning economist Joe Stiglitz went down to Zuccotti Park in New York to address the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators. Did they request that you and Joe Stiglitz talk to them?
Well, I don't quite know how Joe got down there, but they did request that we come down, and I think in the end they requested that Joe come down, and we did what they called the teach-in. It was actually turned out to be quite effective and quite interesting. I would say there were 100 mostly young people gathered around us, and they are not allowed to use megaphones or microphones to amplify the sound, which is a little disturbing. But they have a way of doing it. They call an echo chamber, where you say half a sentence and then the group repeats that half sentence out loud, so that everyone around them and in back of them can hear it.
Well, that's got to be an interesting way to deliver a tutorial on the economics of greed and predatory.
Yeah, it was interesting. It probably kept us more to the point because you had to think about your sentences more carefully. And they were very engaged. They were very courteous, very engaged, I think very eager to learn. The most simple facts, that 1% of the population now earns 20% of the income, or that this recession is the deepest, worst recession since the Great Depression, even the most basic facts. They were eager to pick up everything they could, it seemed to me, and then in turn asked good questions.
So what did they learn from you and Joe Stiglitz?
Well,
like they know everything you listed. I think they already know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they have the hard information. Uh-huh. I think we explained to them what Wall Street's role was in the Great Recession. I certainly explained that the debt everybody is now talking about had nothing to do with Social Security or Medicare or other social programs. It had to do with Wall Street, which was the principal cause of this deep recession and therefore falling tax revenues. It had to do with the Bush tax cuts, and it had to do with the Bush wars. And we talked a little bit about agendas also. I also addressed the General Assembly, as they call it, which was very interesting because the echo chamber I described was even more pronounced there because it was probably 300 or 400 people. And they repeated what you said twice. It was kind of dramatic, but it had its advantages because it engaged people. I am not sugarcoating this, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
these people, some of them were educated, many of them were not very well educated in the matters we talk about a lot, but they were all eager and courteous, and so many came up and said thank you to me with what I felt was sincerity. It was a very gratifying experience.
And it is a very non-hierarchical organization, and you know, a lot of the media, the mainstream media, dismiss them, saying that they're not organized, they don't have a coherent message. Well, welcome to democracy.
Yeah, I think they're organized in that most basic way. There are people who have tasks. There are facilitators, as they call them, who will try to say, we're going to have this teach-in right here and shout out, teach-in here. Or who will decide the speaking order at the General Assembly? There is a little, there is a camera person. So there are lots of people and lots of able people around. But it is a flat organization, as they say in business school. It's not a hierarchy.
Well, it is a powerful message, the 1% versus the 99%, and we are the 99%. And I think if 99% of Americans recognize the truth of that simple statement, maybe we could change the politics of this country.
Well, I think it's one of the best shots we have. I think they're reflecting both the anger at Wall Street and Washington and the utter confusion about what's happened, why Washington hasn't been tougher on this, what Wall Street really did. And I think it's touched a chord, and I hope it will raise questions in people's minds. I am fairly upset about the press coverage. It hasn't all been bad, but it's been pretty dismissive and mocking and so on.
And what was the Nobel Prize winner in economics, Joe Stiglitz, who's advised many governments in Europe. He's been very active with the UN, and he's addressed a lot of world leaders. Here he is addressing the Occupy Wall Street people. What did he bring to the table?
Well, he brought plenty to the table because he has such a broad overview and such a solid foundation. But he did not in any way condescend. He told them what he thinks has to be done. We have to spend our way out of this recession. We have to hold banks accountable. We've got to get money back in, lent back into the system. We've got to deal with people who are underwater mortgage-wise and who have been abused mortgage-wise and were the victims of predatory lending. He was very straightforward and candid, and he did not hold back, nor did he oversimplify in any significant way.
Again, I speak with Jeff Madrick, author of the new book, Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the present. We're talking about the trip that he and that Jeff and Nobel Prize-winning economist Joe Stiglitz made to Zuccotti Park to address the Occupy Wall Street protesters yesterday. Now, given that all of what Joe Stiglitz said is politically impossible because we don't have the leadership from the White House and we had an absolute obstruction from the Congress and paralysis in the Senate, what can be done of all of the things that Joe Stiglitz recommended should be done? It's not like
You're raising an issue that they raised.
Uh-huh.
You know, is any of this practical? What, you know, can we move it any further? And I don't think Stiglitz or myself have really clear answers to that. That's why we're encouraged by these protests. I think these protests could begin to turn public opinion and begin to give those people in Congress who do have strong views, not so dissimilar to our own, give them the confidence to stand up and start forming coalitions to fight these other coalitions in Congress that have been so darn damaging. So do we have any magic elixirs? I don't think Joe has any magic about changing the political system, nor do I. But I do think political systems get changed from the bottom up. And I think both Joe and I encourage these people to deal with their own congressional representatives and state and local representatives and not be shy about the political system that exists now.
Well, what's interesting about what you're telling me, Jeff Madrick, is that this movement that you addressed, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and they have had spontaneously, there have been various similar movements starting around the country. We have here in Los Angeles, people are occupying, the area just right next to City Hall. So you have, it's as though a real authentic kind of Tea Party movement is taking place without the AstroTurf manipulation by Karl Rove and Dick Armey and the
Fox News
echo chamber and the financing by the Koch brothers. Is that an accurate way to
I think definitely, and I hope this encourages more people to come out and speak their mind and get some answers. And, you know, this is part of our democracy also. Protest, as you well know, Ian, is part of this country's heritage. It's part of the way democracy works. In some sense, it's part of the way the government works. So there are messages to get out there, and I think, I actually think people in this movement will come away with specific agendas to meet their own concerns and come away with ideas about how to go forward. And I think, I hope that they will be joined by others. And I think people should know, if I have any single thing to say, that this can help. Going out can help. It can begin to turn the tide.
Well, I got a very interesting note from a young woman who heard my interview yesterday with Chris Hedges, and he was, you know, he asked the questions, are we rebels or slaves? And said that, you know, if people who don't step up are complicit with evil. And this young activist said, look, I've got student loans. I don't think I'm complicit with evil. I just don't know what to do. And all of the liberal groups, including the Democratic Party and Obama for America, all they seem to ask from the young people is money, donations. Every interest group is asking for money. You've got all this energy out there that doesn't have a direction. I mean, if the kids don't have money because they have student loan debts, which we could go into another day, you know, why not tap into the energy? What's wrong with these political organizations on the left?
I think they've had such a hard time getting traction anywhere and everywhere. And certainly, I spoke to Rosa DeLauro's group. She organizes these dinners with members of Congress. Members of Congress as frustrated as you and I, asking what they can do. It is so difficult to get traction. And I think if public opinion can speak, what can I say, Ian?
And it's speaking out.
An example of it.
Well, yeah. I thank you for joining us, Jeff Madrick. And it sounds like you had a very interesting day yesterday.
Well, it was gratifying. It was a very good spirit there, and I appreciate talking with you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeff Madrick, author of the new book, Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the present. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Republican efforts to disenfranchise 5 million people in the upcoming 2012 elections.